Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 26th of November, recording at 9:16 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were mostly steady. China A-shares an exception. The best gain, well, there were some pretty good gains. Hang Seng was up 4%. The Australian main index, ASX 200, was up 2.25%, and the Nikkei bounced up 1.66%. Now that led to some early strength in Europe, but then it faded, and additionally, Wall Street had started on a mildly firm footing, but then headed south and closed pretty well near the day's lows, and it was quite a significant outside day here, with the Dow closing down 237, that's 1.83%, and the S&P was weaker, down 33 at 2.32%, and the Nasdaq Composite similarly weak at 55 points and 2.14%. Now, against that background, we had a real surge, an acceleration in the U.S. Government bond prices, the long-dated government bonds. The European bonds were slightly further and missed most of Wall Street's sell-off. In other words, they closed before most of Wall Street's sell-off took place. And the dollar, which has certainly been on the defensive for quite a while, but it has had a tendency to rally when Wall Street weakened. It did not do that today. It did rather the opposite, closing down with another new low on the US dollar index. Currently, still getting some after-hours trading, but it's 74.82. That's down 2.26. Now, precious metals were quite strong early on. But they had a good run, good recovery last week. But they do tend to suffer a bit from the contagion, and so contagion coming from Wall Street. So those gains were pegged right back, and with small losses predominating. Gold's at 822 right now, but it had been at nearly 837. Earlier on in the day, that was the higher price was this morning, and we saw a similar picture across most metals. Also, the grains coming down. So we're still in this mode where Wall Street sets the tune, and that even applies a bit to Asia, although nowhere near as much. But the Wall Street contagion certainly sweeps across the asset markets, I beg your pardon, the resources markets. We've seen that in recent months on a number of occasions. Okay, so where are we going here overall? Well, the culprit is still the Western bank shares. So we had new closing lows, I don't think intraday lows, but new closing lows on a number of bank indices in the US and also in Europe. My main concern, which I've aired daily in these audios, is that the Fed and the Bank of England and possibly the ECB are all behind the curve of events here, and they're looking at schedules and they're waiting, and until next meetings. Now, it depends what you want here. If we had lots of inflationary pressures that needed to be wrung out of the system, then that would be justified. But we don't. We have food price inflation, as I've mentioned before. From the USA to China, it's food price inflation. That's the problem. In some countries, including the UK, government services are also a problem. But we don't have the wage inflation, and we don't really have the product inflation either. We don't have the manufacturing inflation, in other words. So, really, as I see it, the call from central banks is, do they sort of play it by the book here, in which case stock markets remain vulnerable in the short term behind that lead from the banks? Do they allow that to go on, risking further economic slowdown? Or do they go in and pump in the additional liquidity, cut rates more rapidly, and head off the deflationary pressures which are building up in here once again? That's certainly what the bond market is responding to currently. And I think it's more damaging overall if they hold off, but that is what they are doing. And so really, while these bank shares I have mentioned have entered into a climactic phase, I've also said that they could easily go lower in here, and they are still going lower. And until we get that better performance by the financials, I would expect the broader stock market indices, which certainly have declining short-term downward trends, and they had upside failures a couple of months ago, so they are likely to extend those short-term downward trends against that background. Now, are things just going to go down and stay down? Well, no, I don't think so, and I think the low and declining bond yields that we're seeing, the long-dated government bond yields, are one important reason why that isn't going to be the case. But certainly, fear tends to have the upper hand in here. And when we get the good upside days, suggesting that maybe the worst of the selling is over, if that gets knocked back the following day, as we've seen today, we had Friday's stronger action, then we get today's weakness in here. Now, psychologically, that's a bit of a downer for the markets because people get pulled to and fro here by a good rally followed by a sell-off, and if the sell-offs are have the slightly stronger hand in here, even if only marginally so, it does fray nerves, and then people vote with their feet or decide to move to the sidelines, and that, of course, enables the market to slip down a little bit further. So that's the kind of environment we're in here right now. Is it going to turn into a rout? Well, no, I don't think so, except for the sectors that have been in a rout all along. They look interesting. That's back to banks and building shares and property shares, house building shares. But we need to see some basing action. Otherwise, it's catch a falling knife territory, and that's still a little bit tricky. If somebody were to go in and to buy those three sectors, and I've commented on them before, as you'll almost certainly recall, but if someone were to go in and buy them today and say, right, I'm going to buy them every 2% down or whatever, on some sort of formulaic approach, I have little doubt that you'd make some quite good profits over the next 3 to 4 years. But it's not easy to implement that kind of policy, and most people tend to lose their nerve, or if it's an investment manager who's doing it on behalf of clients, tends to get castigated at the wrong time. So it's hardly surprising that most people tend to wait and want to see some sort of bottoming action that really does look different on the charts. And I've commented on that briefly in the past, but basically what that would look like is that we would need to see a bear squeeze that is better than the 3 4 day rallies that we've seen in the at best in those depressed sectors so far. So we need to see a real bear squeeze, and relevant digression, until we get that, we still have this interesting situation of the banks downgrading each other, which suggests to me, well, the piranhas biting each other here, and a lot of them are running hedge funds, and they've got a momentum trend going in these sectors, and they don't want to let go of it just yet. But get back to what the charts would look like to indicate that we really were in a bottoming out process rather than just seeing an overextended downtrend becoming a bit more an overextended or climactic move that could still become even more climactic. And that is a sharp bear squeeze, and then with the retracement rally showing less velocity and volume, less volatility, as the market came back down, and then those indices or those shares came back down and then encountered support above their lows and got some right-hand extension ranging activity. So that would be the basing activity. We haven't seen that yet. So we're still in an environment where investors' nerves are going to be further challenged for a bit longer in here. But things are changing fast. So don't assume that every day or between now and the end of the year is going to look like today in Europe and the USA. I think it'll be far from that. And I think the chances of a year-end rally are good, but I'm counting on some pretty decisive action coming from central banks next month. And you can never be sure when it comes to central banks. Meanwhile, the fuller money themes are doing reasonably well in here, but still have some further ranging and a consolidation would do no harm in terms of the long-term moving averages. What about the government bonds? Well, they'll continue to take their cues from stock markets, and seeing an acceleration on the upside in here when in the U.S. Bonds that when they do turn, that's going to be an important signal. But again, they have yet to turn. The U.S. dollar remains soft and would have to take out the range highs, the range highs that we've seen over the well, certainly last week, and I think it into the week before. Those little trading patterns that you can see on the charts that I posted on Friday, they would need to take those out to indicate a downside failure here by the dollar. Meanwhile, this dollar trend continues to persist, and that frays a few nerves as well. As I mentioned months ago, it would if we saw the dollar's overall decline picking up speed. What else to mention here? Precious metal action is pretty healthy overall in what I maintain as a consolidation, but we're not going to get gold completing that consolidation when we get, the Dow down 237 points in a day. And anyway, it's unlikely, in my view, that it would have completed that consolidation today, even if the Dow had been up 100 points, although certainly gold would have closed in the upper 830s rather than 823, where it is right now. But having seen the sharp reaction in the precious metals, then gold and platinum move back up to their to within sight of their highs. It's hardly surprising if we see them pull back and range a little bit further. But only if we were to see the lows of the last 2 weeks taken out would I feel that we're seeing evidence, technical evidence of a deeper correction. And frankly, I don't expect that. So that's pretty much it. And so much going on here, more negative than positive for equity investors. But never a dull moment, eh? Owen's away at the chart seminar in Dublin, and I'll be posting comment of the day within the next hour. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.